Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever experienced a sea change? That's a sea change, S-E-A, sea is in the ocean, sea change. I don't think this is a very common expression in Canada, but it's one that we use quite often in Australia. And to experience a sea change means that your life is radically changed or starts over, it's transformed. And to make a sea change usually means that you pack up all your belongings and you move to another part of the country, usually by the sea, to a completely different town and amongst a new circle of friends. A sea change is an opportunity for a fresh start. And maybe some of you here this morning have experienced something like this. Maybe you've moved to Orangeville from another part of the country, from another province, or from a different country altogether. You might have changed careers and doing something completely different than what you originally studied for. And many of us have experienced something in our lives that has caused them to change direction completely. Well, the Apostle Paul, he actually experienced something far more radical than a sea change, for his life was radically transformed. Paul the Apostle was barely recognizable from Saul the Pharisee. They were completely different. And this transformation, it happened one day as he was traveling on the road to Damascus, where he saw the Lord Jesus. And Paul's life after that day was never the same again. His life was no longer about himself. His new life was all about one person. And that person was Jesus Christ. And we can see this in our text this morning. What does Paul say? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But Paul's life-changing experience is not unique to him. For the reality is that what Paul says about himself is true for all who believe in Jesus Christ. Our lives are not about us anymore. They are about Jesus. We are a new creation. We are born again. The old life is no more, and the new life is all Christ, worked by him, lived for him, all to him. And so I summarize the message of the text this morning as follows. To live the Christian life is to live in Jesus. And we'll see three things: that in this life we are crucified with Christ. Secondly, that we are living in Christ. And thirdly, that we are loved by Christ. Paul says that he has been crucified with Christ. That's the first bit there of verse 20. What a strange thing to say, really, when you think about it, isn't it? Why does Paul, or we for that matter, need to be crucified with Christ? Well, by saying that he has been crucified with Christ, Paul wants us to recognize that he has died with Christ. Paul wants us to see that something has come to an end. And what is it that has come to an end? Well, Paul explains this in the previous verse, in verse 19. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. It is in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that we have died to the law. The time of the law has come to an end. You might be wondering, well, really? And I'm sure some of us when we hear the word law, we also begin to switch off a little. If anyone has had to read legal documents like a will or some sort of an agreement, they know how technical and how confusing it can be to understand. And so sometimes when we come to Paul talking about the law, we are tempted to think the same way. Why does all this legal jargon matter anyway? But what Paul has to say about the law here is very important if we are to understand what it means to be crucified with Christ. For when Paul is speaking of the law, he is speaking not only of the Ten Commandments, but also of the ceremonial laws, like circumcision, the purity laws, the sacrifices. And he is also, and this is important, he is also speaking of the law as a way of trying to live right before God, of getting your salvation. For this is what the Jews thought was the way to live right with God. Keep the law, and God would be gracious. For the Jews, to live a righteous life, one had to live according to the law. But Paul wants to emphasize that in Christ the law has come to an end. We have been crucified with Christ. We have in his death died to the law. And this needed to happen. We needed to die to the law. Why? Because it is and it was not possible by living under the law to live rightly before God. And this is because of our sin. There is no way that any of us can keep the law perfectly and so earn God's favor. Instead of freeing people from sin, the law only revealed how very sinful people really were. Before Christ, people were captured under the law, trapped in unrighteousness and unable to get rid of it and to get rid of their sin. And this is why Paul wants to emphasize that we have been crucified with Christ. The Lord Jesus has put an end to our guilt and our curse. In Christ, we have died to the law through the law. It's in verse 19. And this sounds like an oxymoron. How can we die to the law through the law? Well, this is possible only in Jesus. For Christ fulfilled the law. He kept it perfectly. All that we were unable to do, he did in our place. And Jesus says this about himself in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And not only did the Lord Jesus keep the law perfectly, and not only did he fulfill the law, he also took the curse of the law upon himself. And Paul tells us this in Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And so this is what Paul is emphasizing in our text. We have been crucified with Christ. That old era, the era of trying to live under the law, is no more. It is finished. The law and the guilt that it revealed about us is dead. We are no longer under its curse. The law is not a way for us to be righteous before God. The punishment for our sins has been taken in our place. It is not through the law that we are saved. It is not through the law that we are made right with God. And Paul, he needs to speak about this to the Galatians because there have been these false teachers that have crept into the Galatian churches. And these false teachers were called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers have been telling the Galatians that a Christian, in order to be seen as righteous, you still have to keep the law. You still have to be circumcised and follow the holy days. That's how you are right before God. And Paul, he knows how dangerous this thinking is. For if anyone thought like a Judaizer, it was Saul, the persecutor of the church. For what does Paul say about his former life? We read that together in Galatians 1, starting at verse 13. He said, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers." To be zealous for the traditions of his fathers meant that Paul was trying everything he could to follow the law. In the eyes of the law, Paul thought that he was blameless. He thought that he was righteous. In fact, he says this much to the people in the Christians in Philippi. In his letter to the Philippians, he says, "If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Paul, in his old life, thought he was righteous before God because of his obedience to the law. And this is the same man who now says that he has been crucified with Christ, that he has died to the law. This is so much greater than a sea change. Paul's life has been completely transformed. Paul knows that we live to God only through Christ and not through the law. Being crucified with Christ means that our lives also have been radically changed. We are not the same people we once were. But sometimes we can still think that it is the things we do that help us measure up to God, doesn't it? Sometimes we can still think that our relationship with God is preserved only by what we do for Him. I go to church. I do my Bible study. I pray faithfully. I live a good Christian life. But Paul is saying that that thinking, that way of living, has been put to death. There is no room for us to still think that we have to do certain things to be right before God. The Apostle Paul is reminding us that by sharing in Christ's death, we have been set free from this thinking. Our salvation is not defined by how good we are or by what we do. God saves us because of Christ and what He has done for us in our place. Our relationship to God is defined by the goodness and the mercy of the Lord Jesus. We are one with Christ, and it is in Him that we share in all the good things of God. We'll see this more clearly in our second point. So we have been crucified with Christ. That old era, characterized by the law, is gone. But what does that mean for our lives now? Have our lives really changed? Yes, they have. Paul says that since he has been crucified with Christ, his life is not about him anymore. It's all about Christ. Listen what he said in our text. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." What is Paul saying here? Well, he is saying that in Christ he has died to all forms of self-religion. His life is no longer about trying to win favor with God on the basis of his own self-righteousness. As he said to the Philippians, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Christ is all that matters for Paul. His life is not even about himself anymore. The life he lives is all Christ. Paul's identity, his focus, his very existence was all down to Jesus Christ. But what does Paul mean exactly when he says that it is no longer I who live? That's a bit of a strange thing to say. And Paul here is saying something to the Galatians that is fundamentally contrary to the thinking of the Judaizers, to these false teachers in their midst. For while the Judaizers said that the Christian life all depends on what you do, how you can keep the law and live righteously, Paul doesn't even want to talk about himself at all. He begins to say in our text, the life I live, but then it's almost as if he stops himself and he's like, nah, it's not even me. I can't do anything. It is Christ in me. I can do nothing good if it were not for my Savior dwelling and working in me. And this is radical. Paul is saying something here that goes beyond our understanding. He is one with his Savior. The good that he does and the obedience that he shows, the love for God that he proclaims, is all because Christ is in him. What is he saying then, that somehow he is no longer himself, that he has lost his identity? Well, no, not at all. Paul is saying that all that he was before, his old identity, all of that has been made new, has been refocused, remade, repurposed in and through Christ. In Christ, he is able to be the creature that he was originally created to be. In Christ, he is able to live to God as he was always designed to do. The sin that corrupted him, that had severed the relationship with his Maker, it's been forgiven. In Christ, he is not only redeemed, but he is also restored. And because Christ lives in him, Paul now shares in all Christ's benefits. Because it is Christ who lives in him, Paul shares in Christ's righteousness, his holiness, his resurrection, and his life. Paul shares in Christ's victory over death, over sin, and over Satan. And Paul, he is so aware that he needs Christ. Paul recognizes that his life, it's lived here on a fallen earth. And that's why he says in verse 20, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And when Paul speaks about the flesh here, he is speaking about his earthly life, still affected by the fall into sin. The life Paul is speaking about is the one in which he suffers the cares and the anxieties of this world, where he is still subject to illness and to pain, and where he still wrestles with sin and with temptation. He's talking about the life, the flesh, that sometimes it feels so hard, it feels too hard, too depressing, too difficult to continue living. It is about this life that Paul says, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And how can he say this? How is it that he is united to Christ? Well, Paul tells us it is because he lives this life by faith. This is what makes this life so different from his old life. This life is the life of faith, faith in the Son of God himself. And where does this faith come from? Well, it is worked by the Spirit of Christ. Just like a light bulb cannot plug itself into a socket, so we cannot connect ourselves to God. We need to be connected with Christ. And we are connected to him. We're united with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the very power of Christ in our lives. And Paul recognizes this. This is why he can so confidently claim, "Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me." And Paul's statement in verse 20, it's so personal, isn't it? He is so sure about what he knows to be true in his life. But do you know what? The incredible reality of Paul's new life is the incredible reality of our lives as well. All who believe in Jesus, who walk by faith in the Son of God, can say that it is not them who live, but Christ who lives in them. How amazing! Christ dwells in us. Everything that is Christ's is ours. His righteousness, it's ours. His perfect obedience, ours. His right to call God Father, ours. Eternal life, ours. And all of this is given to us freely by grace. Our new life, it's not self-centered, beloved. It's Christ-centered. We are no longer the center of our universes because of Christ. We can live in relationship with God once again. Because of Christ, we can live out the very purpose for which each of us were created. And what a comfort. What a comfort this is, congregation. For sometimes this life, it doesn't feel great, does it? We feel weak, incredibly weak. We see our sin, we see our selfishness, we see pain, we see sickness, and we see death. But we do not face this alone. Each of us can say with Paul, "Not I, but Christ who is in me." I do not have to trust in my own strength. In fact, I cannot. I cannot be right with God. I cannot defeat sin myself. I cannot face death myself. But Christ can, and he has. And he himself dwells in us by his Spirit. The risen Son of God is here in us. And there is no sin, no suffering, no death that can separate us from him. The life we live in Christ. And this is possible only because of the love which he has shown us. And that is our third point. How is it possible that God has done such amazing things for people like us, who are by nature selfish and self-righteous? How is it that people who were enslaved to sin, captive under the law, can have Christ in them? How can Paul say the things he says in this verse with such confidence? Well, Paul can say it because he knows something. He knows who the Lord Jesus is and why he came. Paul can have such confidence in this life because he lives it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How awe-inspiring is that? As if what Paul says hasn't been awesome enough already. Now he says that Jesus loved me, that he gave himself for me. A child who knows that her father loves and cares for her, she has no need to fear when crossing a busy road with him or when walking through a busy part of town with her hand in his. She has confidence that he won't let her go. And this is why Paul can have such confidence in this life as well. The Savior who loved him and gave his very body for him dwells in him. That love that is beyond understanding. It's the power behind his new life. This is why he can say, "Yet not I, but Christ who lives in me." Paul knows that he is loved more than he could ever imagine, more than he ever dared realize. And this is who our God is. He is the God who loved sinners so much that he gave himself so that he could set them free from their sin and misery, and so that he could live with them in fellowship once again. And again, these words of Paul are personal. They're deeply personal. He used to think like those Judaizers. He was captive to the law. He was stuck trying to free himself from sin and misery by doing everything he could do himself. And yet now he confesses that Christ, his Savior, loved him so much that he gave himself for him. And these are words that the Judaizers, those false teachers in Galatia, could never understand. They were so busy trying to earn God's love that they never even realized it was there. But God's gracious love cannot be earned. That's why it's love. And Paul the Pharisee, Paul the persecutor, the sinner, he has come to realize this. This Paul now lives his life in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so savor those words, beloved. Are they not a precious truth? For these are not just true for the Apostle Paul. These words are true for us also. And yes, also as personal for us too. All of us who believe in Jesus, who live by faith in him, who do not look to ourselves but look to him and to him alone, we can say these words with Paul. We can take these words on our lips. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, there is sin in our lives. Yes, there is pain. Yes, there is suffering. But we are loved by the Lord Jesus. And as such, we can have a firm confidence that all these will never defeat us. The love of Christ is in us. For our Savior himself is in us. Don't be so busy trying to earn God's love that you fail to see that it's already given. We can't earn God's gracious love. It's ours already. And because of Christ's love, we can have confidence in this life to live and to rejoice in both good and also in bad times. We are loved, loved beyond anything we could imagine. And what a power this love is. This love of Christ is an overflowing love. And because you are loved by Christ, you can not only love God now, but you can also love one another. And so let this love of the Lord Jesus overflow in you, and let your life be marked, be defined by the love of Christ. So marvel at these words of hope this morning. Be struck by the mercy of God. Meditate on the profound love that God has shown to sinners like us. What a God we have. What a Savior we have. What a new life we are privileged to live. May Paul's confidence in Christ be yours also today. So I leave you this morning with these words from one of the new proposed hymns. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness, and freedom. My steadfast love, my hope, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Amen.